knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Let's sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you. What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today is things that have been sent our way from the great areas of the world that are not America.
Yes. Yeah.
I got a nice package in the mailbag from Lee over in the UK. Oh, my God.
What?
So much candy.
Oh, shit.
I ate it all already.
Of course you did. I was going to say, anytime you say so much candy, I'm like, I didn't see a goddamn I didn't see any of this candy.
I saved you some wine gums. Because I tried the last ones that came in another package from someone overseas, and they were so terrible.
Your disgusting. Form of sharing candy is literally like, I picked out all the jelly beans I don't like, and
sure.
I gave them
you
to you.
You can have all the licorice ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the problem...
This one's popcorn.
The problem, as I see it, Jordan, is that I go pick up the mail,
sure.
And if there's candy in it, you're not here when I open it
up. The clock starts when you open the candy.
I have to eat it.
Yeah, if it's like a three-day window between you and me getting together, that's 72 hours.
Yeah.
I'm not going to survive that candy length.
And I'm really close to ready to say that the UK might have some of the best chocolates and candies of the things that have been sent, for sure. Canada's pretty strong, too.
Totally.
But in terms of the ones that I've had, I think I got to move to London.
Oh, well, America's chocolate is shit. They're allowed to do different shit to American chocolate.
I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
I still think that we have some good chocolate options
here.
We
have very good chocolate options.
But, man... Some of these, oh God, just a crunchy, so good.
See, nothing will nothing will ever beat the Reese's peanut butter egg. It's simply impossible to
defeat.
It's
a good ratio.
It's perfect.
Yep. So we got that, and I'm sorry that I ate all the candy. But
yeah, no,
it is
fine.
What it is.
It's fine.
I saved.
I've had enough candy in my life.
Wine gums for you and your partner. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Also got this nice package from Employmentless Eddie and Government Goat. Goate. At Norway, out in the Socialist Democratic Monarchy of Norway.
I love it.
Got you a couple novelty beverages.
Yes. Currently drinking a Nordic Raspberry Hard Seltzer.
This is a Beck.
It means
stream in Norwegian, apparently.
It's very, very good.
It's from Eger Brewery, or whatever. What's that letter that's an A and an E that are connected to each other? Do you know that?
E.
You know that letter?
Yeah, it's E.
Okay.
it sounds like this. E.
Okay, Eger Brewery, then. I got a couple also of non-alcoholic seltzers. Mm-hmm. I have not had a chance to dip into those. And then some chocolates. Mm-hmm. I have not eaten those yet. You can have a couple of those.
I'll try a couple of those.
And... You know, what's that bugle? You know, the bugles? The corn?
The chip? Yeah. That you put on your fingers to look like a witch? Yes.
That's the one. Got a bag of those covered in chocolate.
What?
Apparently
you can cover those in chocolate?
Apparently they do that in Norway.
I don't know if they can do that.
Fucking weird.
I think that might be against the law here.
So if I'm going to read here from this note from Oslo.
Sure.
So with every bite, you get a chunk of social democracy, socialized healthcare, a functioning government, and or a secular society of fairly decent looking folks who spend their days eating babies, worshiping Satan, and committing heinous atrocities against culinary science through their national dishes.
All right.
Which I would say is maybe accurate based on the fact that it's chocolate covered bugles.
That does sound right.
Anyway, I have not tried those yet, but I'm sure they're going to be great.
I imagine so.
Thank you to all our international wonks.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
What's your bright spot, Jordan?
I don't really have a bright spot so much as maybe a silver lining.
Mm.
Uh, As you know, my aunt died earlier this year. She did the old mortal coil shuffle.
Sure.
If you recall,
that's what they call
by
it.
Fridge Perry and Walter Payton.
Okay. I know the joke you're making, the Super Bowl shuffle, right?
Yeah. Yep. T-Day, as I call it, was always her holiday. Mm. Like, she co-signed when I went to college the first time, of my many jaunts.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had terrible credit at the time, and she co-signed on my first student loan. And literally at that time, she was like, "And you're never going to miss T-Day ever again, are you?" And
ooh.
Yeah, and
so she was a blackmail artist.
No, it was kind
she
of
was
a
an
joke.
Extortionist.
It was kind of a joke, you know, that kind of thing. But at the same time, it was also deadly serious.
You repaid the interest on this loan with the drawings of your hand as a turkey.
Exactly. This is the first one without her, so it's a little bit rough. But I was reflecting on it, and I think my silver lining is that I have no regrets. Mm, you know?
That's good.
There are a lot of situations where you can lose a loved one and you'll regret something, like, I wish I had done this before and all that stuff. And I have no regrets whatsoever. My aunt and I just had a solid relationship, and I am terribly sad that it's over, but a lot of people don't get that luxury of, like,
sure,
everything went how it was going to go.
I mean,
know?
Hey, look, it's a bummer that you're talking about a loved one who's no longer here,
sure,
but it's a pretty amazing thing to be able to feel that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
That's about as uplifting as you can get when you're talking about
it. It really is.
Someone.
You know, what's worse is I didn't get the chance to say goodbye.
Sure.
The night I was going to go see her and do that whole stuff, she died. But I was even thinking about that. I was like, is that a regret that I didn't get to say goodbye? And then I was remembering when my grandfather died, her dad, we were at the nursing home as just watching him. It took him like a year to die. And she literally turned to me and she's like, I would rather die than let people see me like this. And that's how she fucking went out, man.
Yeah.
She died before anybody had the chance to see her like
skipping
that.
Out the door.
She was like, I'm not dealing with you fuckers.
Good on her.
And out she went.
She got her wish.
Lived the way she died.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's silver lining.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Jordan.
Yeah.
It's weird. I mean, I know we're not supposed to celebrate Thanksgiving or, I mean, not that, but you know, like the tradition of Thanksgiving and a lot of the imagery around it is based on a sort of colonialist myth and all this.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who have a lot of fair complaints about the holiday. But at the end of the day, ultimately, what it is about is if you want it to be, is about being grateful for things.
Sure.
I think that certainly if we take the time to reflect, we have a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah.
And not just these fond memories of loved ones,
sure,
or weird things you can eat or drink from overseas. It's just great. It's just great. And I feel very wonderful being able to reflect on those things. So thank you, everybody, who has made so many things for us to be grateful for.
Yes. We are very, very grateful
one
for many, many things.
I am not grateful to.
Who's that?
Alexander Emmerich Jones.
That motherfucker. Running things again.
Yeah. So, Jordan, today we're going to be talking about him. I know that's a shock. We're going to be talking...
That's not a character for us.
We're going to be talking about November 22nd to 24th, 2020. I'm Dan. This is 2020.
Oh, hooray!
Yay! this
I'm slowly moving back away from that. I'm going to start saying "God damn it" again.
Uh-huh.
I'm no longer accepting this. I gave it a shot.
A lot of back and forth.
Yeah, sorry.
There's a... We're recording this a little later than we normally do. We had to push back recording, and there's a very specific reason. And I think that you will immediately know what it is.
Okay.
And I would like for you to yell bingo. Not yell.
Okay.
We are recording a little later.
Sure.
Neighbors
sure.
And all that.
I understand.
But I would like for you to say bingo whenever you think you have discovered why we're had to record later.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
So we'll get down to business on this episode. But before we do, let's take a little moment to say thank you to some folks who have signed up in our supporting show.
That's a great idea.
So first, Nicholas C. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Nicholas.
Thank you. Next, Luca Tate. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Luca.
Thank you. Next, Brigitte. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Brigitte.
Thank you. Next, Dan the Bold. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Dan the Bold.
Great name.
Yeah.
Next, Dodd Snow. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. Next, Moose Work. Thank you so much. You are now Dan and Jordan. I love you.
I'm a policy wonk.
You're now a policy wonk.
Thank you very much to all of whatever that was.
Sure.
Yeah.
And finally, I'd like to say thank you to a couple of folks who donated on an elevated level. We appreciate that very much. So first, Ugly Derek. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. And Blavid Dane. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large.
I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, Ugly Derek. Thank you so much, Blavid Dane.
Yes, thank you very much to the both of you.
If you're out there listening, you're thinking, hey, I enjoyed the show, I'd like to support what these gents are doing, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show, or...
Dan, it's T-Day. You know what kind of thing you need to do on T-Day. Be generous and care for the people around you.
You need to get...
And go to a local charity or bail fund.
Okay. Yeah.
That would be my plan.
I was going to start reciting the lyrics to All My Rowdy Friends Are Coming Over Tonight. Because this is a football holiday, my friend.
Not really a football guy anymore.
No?
Actually, not a football guy at all anymore.
No.
4 years. Cold. Cold turkey.
Okay. Cold turkey. Not good for Thanksgiving.
Not good for Thanksgiving. Yeah, there we go.
All right. So, Jordan, before we get into this, we have a couple of out-of-context drops. And which would you like to go
for? Bingo!
Okay. Incorrect.
Okay.
I'll just start with this one.
Surf means slave. Not a smurf, a surf.
Yep.
All right.
Pretty good.
Okay, that's not bad.
Not bad.
That's good analysis.
Yep. That was apropos of nothing. Just
sure, sure.
Thinking that people would get confused that he was talking about the Smurfs.
You got to make sure.
Now, here, this is actually very exciting. This next out of context drop does not make it had no place in the episode, but it's very exciting because it's something that I hope so badly that Alex continues, but okay. I don't think he will.
All right.
On a scale of 1 to 5, you get 5 Hitler mustaches. We should have a new thing there. You get 5 Hitler mustaches.
I would love it.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that as a ranking
system.
If
you took the globalists and he rated them on a scale of 1 to 5 Hitler mustaches.
I gotta be honest. I think if you're on the scale at all, it's bad.
It's not great.
I think Hitler only had
you,
one
sir,
Hitler mustache.
Had 3 Hitler
if
mustaches.
If you've got 5 Hitler mustaches, that's way too many Hitler
that
mustaches.
Is.
Yeah.
So we start on Sunday. That's November 22nd. And Alex is still banging the gong of the voter fraud.
Sure.
And he has some very powerful people who are on his side.
Ladies and gentlemen, the head of the Federal Elections Commission has gone public and said there was massive fraud orchestrated across the country against President Trump and against the American people. That is coming up.
The current head of the Federal Election Commission is a fellow by the name of James Traynor, and he's a bit of a kook. Prior to his appointment, he had served as a counsel for Trump's 2016 campaign, and in his nomination hearing, he, quote, would not commit to a blanket recusal from matters involving the president if he's confirmed to the Federal Election Commission.
I imagine prior to that, he was a used car salesman.
Pretty cool stuff, and you gotta admire a guy who says in their job interview they're straight up not gonna commit to doing their job.
Excuse me, what's the Constitution? No.
He was confirmed in May of this year after his nomination stalled in Congress for a few years, and he got in with a 49-43 vote on strict party lines. James Traynor is not a great dude. He made headlines earlier this year when he did an interview with Church Militant, where he compared the 2020 election to, quote, spiritual warfare. He also claimed that religious leaders who are tax-exempt should feel free to tell their congregants who to vote for, since Trump released an executive order indicating that he wasn't interested in enforcing the Johnson Amendment.
Yeah, then...
Traynor said, quote, the bishops are using their nonprofit status as a shield to hide behind from having to make a decision about who to support and to come out publicly. Bishops say we should have an informed conscience when we go vote, but they never really take that next step and say, here's who meets the criteria.
Oh, boy.
In that interview, he also made clear that he believes that the separation of church and state is a, quote, fallacy.
Sure.
He elaborated, quote, "It was John Adams that said the Constitution presupposes a Christian moral people, which means you have to have that underlying principle in order for the Constitution to function and work properly. What we see going on around the world is complete anarchy in places where the rule of law has been completely abrogated. So it is a spiritual war that is striking at the underlying foundations of our constitutional republic. It's getting rid of the Christian moral principles that are the basis of the foundation of a country. One important thing to point out is that John Adams, in his 1798 letter, said that, quote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other." It's James Traynor who's adding the word Christian
in
there.
Well,
John Adams wasn't saying that the Constitution was only for Christians. He just had a philosophy that morality itself relied on religion because that's an appealing shortcut to a moral system.
Sure.
This quote is used and misused by Christian zealots to argue that this is a fundamentally Christian country, and even some go on to suggest that the Constitution and the rights protected by it, they don't apply to
non-Christians. Secondary to...
These people are fucked up, dangerous cultists, and it's fun to realize that the head of the Federal Election Commission is one such person. Also, 2 years prior to writing that letter, Adams had been part of signing of the Treaty of Tripoli, which was meant to establish commercial relations between the United States and Libya. Article 11 of that treaty, presented by John Adams to be ratified by Congress, begins, quote, "The government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion." Weird.
Well,
Traynor's comments about voter fraud came up in an interview with Newsmax, where he was just complaining about the same stuff Trump's campaign is talking about in Pennsylvania, where they believe that unless their poll watchers get as close as possible to the vote counters, then there must be fraud going on.
Preferably with knives ready to scratch out Biden's name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He said, quote, "I do believe there is voter fraud taking place in these places. Otherwise, they would allow observers to go in." This is a pretty standard bullshit artist tactic, and I'll just lay this out for you how this works on a very basic level. So here's how it starts. You allege that there's some problem going on, in this case, votes being fraudulently counted. You have no proof that this is happening, and it almost certainly is not happening, but you need people to believe that it is. You insist that this is a major problem, and then you propose a solution to this problem that you know will not be accepted. In this case, it's the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania mandating how the Philadelphia Board of Elections carries out their election. You know that your demand is going to be thrown out because the complaint is frivolous and the remedy would require the infringing of a locality on its ability to run its own election. It's certain to be rejected, but that's good. You didn't want the complaint to be accepted anyway. If the complaint had been accepted, then things don't change at all. The poll watchers are a couple feet closer, and you probably slow down the process or try to make a scene out of something, but it's not like you're going to find any actual fraud. What works so much better is the complaint being thrown out, because then you get to go around and insist there must be a cover-up going on, or else your poll watchers would be allowed to do basically the counting themselves. You know, they got to get as close as get up in there.
Yeah.
You don't actually want the poll watchers to get closer. You want that request to be rejected so your surrogates can then create the appearance of suspicion. Everyone engaged in this knows exactly that this is the game.
Totally.
It's just outrageously tragic to see that someone so transparently craven could ever find themselves in the position of being the chair of the FEC. That is a real bummer.
Yeah, I imagine that at the very least some of these douchebag Republicans in government must be like, you know, when we hooked our wagons to Fox News 20 years ago, we thought we were going to be able to direct the mob and we wouldn't allow them into power. But now the FEC guy said we should start a holy war in the 15th century again. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's okay. But we got beat by Fox News.
Even Charles Koch is going around saying whoops.
Yeah. Whoops, my bad, guys. Didn't mean to destroy democracy. Just wanted to make a shit ton of money and kill people. Why is that wrong?
Yeah. Whoops.
Ooh, bummer.
Yeah. Anyway, Alex is straight up. He's a real cool guy.
Sure.
And he wants you to know that if Trump had lost, he'd fucking tell you.
Sure.
Let me just tell you up front here what we got for you. I'm a realist. If Trump would have lost this election, I would have been completely honest about it and tell you. I don't make stuff up. I would have said Joe Biden needs to be arrested as a communist Chinese agent on record, along with his son, the rest of his scumbag family.
Sure.
But that's another issue.
Sure it is.
Sure it is.
I would love to see how that played out. Like, months of him being like, they're going to steal the election. And then Biden wins. He's like, you know what? I got to be honest. They didn't steal this one.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine how long we spent listening to him say, the only way it's a fair election is if Trump wins?
Yeah.
For him to suddenly be like, guys, I got to be honest. This was a fair one.
Yeah.
And Biden won.
Yeah, look.
That would be bullshit. I would be mad at him.
I got to be. I have nothing if I don't have my integrity. And I have to tell you, I'm eating crow on this one.
Yeah. I would legit be furious. I would be furious. If Roger Stone just comes out now and he's like, guys, I did my research. This is a fair election. Mm-hmm. I would be furious with him.
But that's what's so funny about a statement like this. Like, if he had won, I would tell you, no, you fucking wouldn't. Get the fuck out of here.
Of course not.
Yeah, good times. So, anyway, Alex gets to talking about...
also, we didn't even account for the fact that he did win.
Oh, yeah.
He did win.
There is that.
There is that. You proved the... Yeah. Okay.
So, the Supreme Court, though... They may be making moves in order to make sure that Trump actually does get in.
That's great.
The Supreme Court unprecedentedly came in and changed in key battleground states what Supreme Court justices were over what circuit. And so who will be ruling on what cases to take from the circuits and who will have control of those rulings to fast track them. And they've put Gorsuch and they've put Thomas, and they've put Barrett, and they've put Alito, and they've put Kavanaugh over the four key states. So they are locked and loaded, a major signal. They see the fraud. They know the scam. They're moving in.
So there is a new Supreme Court justice, so it's not at all surprising that there would be a new split of circuit court assignments. Alex is saying this is unprecedented. I don't know what the fuck he's talking about. This is not some weird thing where the Supreme Court justice rules over all of their assigned circuit. And as far as I can tell, this has just been really overblown by people in the nonsense Alex Jones kind of world into being some kind of sign that there's an elaborate plan unfolding.
Sure.
It smells a lot like QAnon shit.
Yeah.
It's all very selective, too. Like, you can say that Kavanaugh is over the Sixth Circuit, which includes Michigan, and Clarence Thomas is over the 11th, which includes Georgia. But for this to make sense, you have to ignore certain facts. Like, for instance, part of Alex's Stopping the Steal Tour 2020 was going to Arizona, which is in the Ninth Circuit under Elena Kagan. Weird. That's not part of his block of Trump lovers.
Well, Arizona's lost, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania is a state that Alex really does need to flip in order to make his stuff work mathematically.
Sure.
And that's under Alito, who he pointed out, but historically, Alex has not been into Samuel Alito.
Well, now we've got a chance, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know. This is just silly. It seems like someone grasping at straws, and I'm just not so into it.
Yeah, which is also literally how they could have picked these judicial circuit
picking
courts.
At straws?
Just grabbing straws.
It could have been.
Yeah, it totally could be.
I'm not interested in talking about this because there's bigger things to go on.
Right.
Like, do you know what motivates Joe Biden and Kamala Harris?
I've got to go with blood.
No, it's not blood.
It's not blood.
Make no mistake, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were picked because they want one thing, status and money. They don't want to run.
That's two things.
Joe Biden and Kamala are known as put me on private jets, give me money, give me palaces, give me caviar, give me sex, give me drugs, and I don't want anything else. The bottom of the barrel.
Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are about to release an album.
Is that Lil Wayne 10 years ago? What are we doing?
Give me caviar,
is this the Carter 3? What's happening
drugs,
right now?
Sex. You know Joe Biden on the streets? He's always just like, oh yeah, you want something? Give me a palace.
2 Chainz is president now.
Yeah.
And 2 Chainz is also concerned about the relative tax rate of people, individuals making over $500,000 a year.
I'm fascinated by this. Like, yeah, on the streets, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are known as people who just want private jets,
really,
sex, and money.
Really? 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 Really?
No, that's pretty awesome.
I do like the just, that's just throwing that out there. Why not? Why not? Just throw that out there.
Yeah.
Biden and Kamala Harris, fucking rappers. Who
Might
gives
well
a shit?
Be.
Toss
yeah.
it out there.
Over extravagant, cartoonish pictures of rap excess.
Yeah, yeah. It's Young Thug.
Yeah. Yeah. So Alex gets to talking about these Trump suits that have been thrown out in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And he has something to say about this judge. And
loves money, power,
caviar,
social status,
palaces.
Caviar.
Yeah.
We're being gaslit. We're being lied to. That was an Obama judge that we knew was going to throw it out without even looking at the evidence in Pennsylvania. And that's what Trump's lawyers said. It's what I said.
To be clear, Alex and his audience may not know this, but the president doesn't appoint state Supreme Court justices. They're elected in 38 states, whereas in 12 other states, other methods are used. Typically, gubernatorial appointment or selection by the legislature.
Sure.
I guess the three states most relevant to Alex's hopes for a Trump win are Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Michigan, and all three of them are states where the Supreme Court justices are elected. There's no such thing as an Obama judge on these Supreme Courts, unless you just define anyone who disagrees with you as an Obama judge, which seems to be what Alex is doing.
Yeah, that seems a lot easier than thinking about it.
He doesn't know shit.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So Alex is also, you know, he's in this strange in-between place. And he seems to be on this Sunday episode, this November 22nd, seems to be really leaning pretty hard into doomsday preaching.
Sure.
You're going to be at a point where half the children you know by age 5 are dying with brain tumors. You're going to witness total extermination. And you will finally meet God in your mind, or you will get on your knees to Satan. But you will go through the fire. No one will escape.
Uh-huh.
Not me, not you, not anybody.
Okay.
It's pretty harsh. There's a lot of doom talk.
Half of the 5-year-olds I know, or half of all 5-year-olds?
I think every 5-year-old, yeah, not just you personally.
Not just me,
not just
personally.
Jordan.
Because, I mean, if I got to pick, we'll see.
I don't know any 5-year-olds. I don't think I know
safe.
Any 5-year-olds.
You're safe.
Yeah, I guess I won't see this hellish thing
yeah.
come to pass.
This is like Passover. You know, we're not going to have to deal with it.
The plague of the firstborn
exactly
is not so bad if you don't have kids.
If you don't have kids.
I mean, it's tough because you still care about your neighbors,
sure,
or families,
sure,
and
sure,
stuff.
Sure,
but
sure.
Yeah, it's just very dark. Alex mm-hmm. seems to be thinking that everybody's fucked
yeah.
and a lot of crazy shit's going to happen. And then he remembers that Bill Cooper's book was called Behold a Pale Horse. And he starts talking about that Bible verse.
I looked and behold an ashen horse, and he who sat upon its name was Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, with famine, pestilence, and with the wild beasts of earth. Let me tell you who rides that horse, who is the spiritual
vessel. I wanna know.
Of the Antichrist before the Antichrist
know.
Comes is Bill Gates. The man who sits on the white horse of death is Bill Gates.
He's
I've told
a middleman.
For 20 years, and now you see it. He is your world ruler. He is the head of the G7. He is the last gate.
The gate of Gates?
The executor of you and your family. He will kill you and your family when he's done, and you will die.
Wow. Shadowgate. Bill Gates.
I want a concrete job for Bill Gates. I feel like either he's constantly jockeying for and winning / losing position,
mm-hmm.
or I think Alex might be making up a lot of the things Bill Gates does.
I think it's got to be Alex is making it up, because you wouldn't have time to readjust to those shifts in position. Like
so
I,
often. I, frequent. Yeah.
I
month
know,
by month.
I know that I've been in jobs and
sure.
I've had internal changes in position.
Sure.
Let's say. Like
yeah.
you get moved to a different department
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when I worked at Groupon, I was in a couple of different places.
Right.
And man, you lose about a week of productivity.
Totally.
Trying to get reacclimated to the new workflow,
yeah.
the new responsibility.
Moved our manager to this team, and this team is now being run a different way.
You're
and
using,
you're like, geez.
You're using Salesforce a different way.
Totally.
You don't know what the fuck is going
yep.
on. Yeah. Bill Gates could never be like a middleman and then one of the Council of 12, and now he's running the G7.
Totally.
Like he just,
and also rides upon the pale horse.
Right.
Yes. Has he been Death this whole time and has been like Biden his time?
No. Look, the pale horse has a few riders.
I really didn't know that.
Bill Gates came in and was like, hey, buddy, Everett Koop was up there before.
Is it like a Twilight Zone episode? If you kill death, you become death?
Yeah,
is that
like
how it
the
works?
Santa Claus.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
So, yeah. Alex is not only talking about how everyone's going to die, sure. And Bill Gates rides the pale horse.
Yeah.
He also wants to tell you about how much everyone loves him now.
I got calls the last 3 days from major world leaders, major people in government, the biggest people in media. And they said, all of them said the same thing. They said, Jones, when we go to dinner parties or these big Hollywood parties or with these big events, everyone loves you now and everyone's asking about you. It's not about me. It's that I represent the resistance and people that are awake.
I've just been so right for so long that now everyone loves me.
Oh, man.
I keep getting phone calls about how they talk about me at Hollywood parties.
Wow. 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 Alex, it's me, the ghost of Nelson Mandela. We love you in heaven now. You're definitely going to be invited.
This sounds like a fucking bragging teen.
Yeah.
This is so transparently.
Yeah. There's no reason. It's somebody at the lunch table who's 15 being like, man, I just talked to somebody famous. And you're like, I'm 15. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, my uncle knows Shaq.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, cool. Whatever. All right, man. Yeah. That doesn't raise your status or lower it
you
with
think
me.
It does.
I don't know why this is happening.
Yeah. I don't believe that anybody called Alex. I don't believe that anyone told him that there's people talking about him at Hollywood parties. Uh-huh. I don't believe that people are talking about him at Hollywood parties.
Right.
But even if all of that was true, it still wouldn't matter. Because I imagine the real world version of this is people at dinner parties being like, you hear this fucked up weirdo?
I feel like we would be more popular if famous people were talking about Alex Jones at dinner parties.
Yes.
Sooner or later, someone would be like, hey, did you know there's a podcast about him?
Can you believe these two dickholes in Chicago make this guy listenable?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Hypothetical.
Yes.
Brian Stelter calls, says everybody loves him at MSNBC. What happens?
I think Alex critiques his appearance on the phone. Alex tells him he looks weird. I think Alex is like, look, Stelter. Stelter, I love to hear that. I love to hear that Tapper likes me.
We love you.
You look like a pedophile.
God damn it, Alex, but we love you at MSNBC.
But the reason you love me is I tell the truth.
All right.
And I got to tell you the truth.
You're right.
You look like a clown demon.
This is why we love you, Alex.
Your integrity shines through even in this phone call.
You're like the conspiracy theorist Don Rickles.
Yeah, hockey puck. So,
oh man,
one of my favorite things about Alex is, in terms of like his dumb ideas, is that the globalists don't have children. And
sure.
I haven't heard him bring that up in a while,
yeah.
So I was excited for it to come
back.
This is a post-human system being built. And I told some of these folks they have kids. By the way, all people that call me have children. That's why these globalists don't have children.
All of them.
If you haven't had children, but the point is it creates a metaphysical thing where you're tied to humanity even more, to your ancestors and to the future. And it's just like it's a command once you have children.
Mm. Alex loves this talking point, which is nonsense, you know, like that the idea that the globalists don't have children.
Sure.
I guess Joe Biden's the lead globalist in the U.S. right now. And Alex knows better than anyone that he has at least one son, since he can't stop complaining about him.
Stole him from someone else's family.
What about Bill Gates? He rides the pale horse. He's the globalist in the top of the rotation, and he has three kids.
Well, the horse is actually a horse costume. So you have to have more than one person inside the horse costume.
But then he still has one extra kid. You can't have three people in a horse costume.
Hey, puts it on his shoulders.
I don't know about that. Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum and the author of The Great Reset. That's another guy that Alex is really going on and on about these days. He has two kids.
Oh.
This is so dumb. And Alex says it all the time, not because it's true, but because it underscores an important piece of his cosmology. Namely, that there's something inherently suspicious or wrong about people who don't view reproducing as the most important piece of life.
Yeah.
Like he's very easy. This isn't about the globalists having kids or not having kids. It's literally a talking point just to throw out to make you feel like you need to have kids and there's something wrong if you don't.
Yeah, I imagine, though, that that's probably like a part of the great replacement bullshit that they all believe in, where it's like, hey, we're white people have to have more kids.
It could be
that kind of thing, yeah, you know?
It could be adjacent to that.
Because those quiver folk believe all that shit,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, might be.
Nah.
So Alex goes on to talk about here how he's ready to die. Ready to die for,
sure.
for the truth. And then he gets some tears, and I'll leave it up to you to decide whether you think these are genuine.
Okay.
And I'm ready to die. I'm ready to be imprisoned. I'm ready to put solitary confinement. I'm ready to be tortured for the truth. Because I realize I can't sign on to the pedophilia and the Satanism. In fact, it's a very easy... I'm not into persecution. I'm not into masochism. I don't like pain. But I'll take it. I'll take as much as they're going to give me. Because it's so short compared to eternity. Because Jesus Christ is on the other side of it.
All right. All right, buddy.
And I wish we could have stopped this. I really wish we could have. But we can't. We're going to get hurt for what we've done. Quite frankly, we deserve it.
So, again, we're on this doom tip here mm-hmm. on this episode.
Yeah.
I don't think that was sincere, really. Here's my thought. Here's what I want to discuss.
Sure.
Alex has this, like, persecution fantasy where he's like William Wallace, like,
yeah,
being tortured and, like,
freedom.
His last words
yeah.
are freedom.
Yeah, and he's also an anti-Semite, so it works well for him.
It's
yeah.
all across the board.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this, though. Do you think that, like, the point that he wants to make is I'd be willing to do anything for the truth.
Sure.
Would he be willing to live in obscurity and poverty?
Oh, absolutely.
For the truth.
No, that would be very hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me to think about, like, well, okay, what if the truth required you to do a podcast out of your apartment? Would you do that, Alex? Would you give up your million-dollar studio?
I don't think you might.
Would
not.
You give up your perceived status symbols? Yeah. All of this pretending about talking to world leaders and dinner party chatter about you?
Yeah.
Would you give up the pretense of being the leader of the Patriot movement and
sure.
Texas royalty? Would you give up all that for the truth?
Because
mm-hmm. I don't think you would.
No.
You'd probably get tortured, though, because then... You know, that's just part of the persecution fantasy. If you get to go out a martyr.
Well, I mean, it's a lot more fun to think of dying instead of living with
right,
shit. You
right.
know, I would much rather die for my beliefs than live like really miserably forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's harder.
It's a lot harder.
Yeah. I don't think he'd be up for that.
I don't think he would.
No.
He thinks that dying is the hardest thing you can do.
And it's not.
It's very easy.
So Alex talks here about, again, it's just like these are fucking scary times.
Mm-hmm.
Bad stuff's coming. God's going to judge us.
Because now we're entering the scary time. And it just gets scarier from here on out. And the men will be measured and the women will be measured. And we're all going to be measured. We're all going to be put through the fire. And I welcome the fire.
I welcome the fire!
I welcome the fire.
Sorry.
Because it will cleanse us. And it will burn away the lies and separate the metal from the trash. And in that fire, we will find our ascendance. Or we will find our destruction. The real test is now here. From here on out, the gates of hell have been opened.
What the fuck is he going on
Man,
about?
I swear to God, if the culture at large it gave it 6 months with a new Trump administration, Alex would be like, yeah, burning witches is totally fine again. Of course. When did it ever go wrong?
I just like to imagine some people are like, hey, man, yeah. I don't like the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
And then just by like gradual weirdness intensifying, you get to a point where like, yeah, the cleansing fire does need to come.
Everyone should be baptized in fire. You're right.
That'll be purifying.
And if you can't float, well, we know what's going on with you.
Yeah, that's like this trajectory
Jesus.
Is strange.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
he's in a bad place. And I will give him a little bit of a kudo, tip of the cap.
Okay.
In that he does end the show more weird than threatening, I think.
Uh-huh.
This clip's a little bit longer. It's about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Because there's no way I could cut this at all. this is just Alex begging leftists to accept Jesus.
Okay, all right. It's very, I'm listening. I got an open heart and an open mind.
It's very strange.
Let's give it a shot.
You know, if I was a globalist, I would see you and see you as an animal, see you as trash.
Cool.
And I would feed on you. But God's spirit leaves me if I start thinking like that.
Easter still. So I'm still
not
going on.
Treat you like that, but I will tell you straight up to your face. If you're a Democrat, if you're a leftist, if you're an Antifa, you're an idiot. Literal Count Dracula, and then Prince Philip, who runs him, and Prince Charles, who are the Dracula line, literally, this is Hungarian, Romanian, these are the dudes.
Sure.
For a thousand years, these are blood drinkers. You are literally on your knees to the seed of Satan, the dragon. And you think it's going to give you milk and cookies at night. It isn't. You are fools, and you are in grave danger. And I'm begging you. I'm begging you for your own soul. We will destroy you. God's going to destroy you. I'm asking you to get off the side of Satan. I don't want to destroy you.
Thanks.
I take no pleasure in this. I don't want to destroy you. I don't want God to destroy you. I'm just begging you, please, stop serving Satan. Turn back now. There's still time. There's still time. You can do it. You can renounce Bill Gates. You can renounce Fauci. You can renounce Ted Turner. You can renounce George Soros. And you can accept Jesus Christ. You've got to do it quickly. There isn't much time. This is such a serious situation. Please, please turn back now. God doesn't want to destroy you. God doesn't want to annihilate you.
He wrote a book about it.
To reject the power of the earth. You have to reject Satan or you don't have any hope. You must reject Joe Biden.
So let me ask you, as an open-hearted leftist who has just heard Alex Jones's plea.
Right.
This is the best he can do.
Uh-huh.
How do you feel? Are you ready to renounce Anthony Fauci?
I mean, yeah. I really don't have a problem with that. I'll just pick somebody else who's very competent. I don't have any attachment to Fauci.
Yeah.
Fauci could be replaced with another talented, like, that's it.
It's certainly much less attachment than you have to someone like, let's say, Prince Philip. Who you are desperately attached to.
I do find it hilarious that he kind of correctly let me put it this way. He embodies the point of Dracula, which is that foreigners are very weird and we should be terrified of them.
Prince Philip?
That's what I'm saying. He's British, obviously. He's not from America. And in the same way, you know, Dracula was written to terrify people about the Eastern Bloc of Europe coming over into their homes, stealing their women and such.
I guess. I'm not that scared of Prince Philip either, though.
I think we should be.
All right, fair enough. So we get to the 23rd now, and this episode opens with Alex, I would say, accepting that Biden is going to win.
Sure.
But he's reframing it a little
bit. Okay, good.
We are 58 days out. The overthrow of our republic and the installation of a foreign Chinese-backed communist agent known as Joe Biden.
So that's how it is now. Yeah. It's going to happen, but it's the overthrow of the country
something. Sure.
So we know that Alex has this thing that he talks about all the time, which is Operation Lockstep, which is what he has made up or cribbed from a meme or something.
Absolutely.
About a 2010 document from the Rockefeller Foundation. Mm-hmm. The what is it called? The Future of Technology and International Development document.
Mm-hmm.
And he's turned that those memes about that and all this shit into Operation Lockstep. It almost got deeply, deeply exposed on Rogan's podcast.
Very close.
Him and Tim Dillon and Jamie were just not able to synthesize the information, take it in well enough to rebut Alex's points in real time, which is something that Alex benefits from.
Yeah, no, they really teamed up to do a shit job and fuck over everybody.
Well,
I like it.
Yes, but also, again, I think I said this on the episode.
I know.
It's a complex thing that it would be very difficult to know nothing about it. They did do a bad job, but I don't know if they could have done a good job.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I know full well. I just want to
make that clear. We're not piling on.
No.
Except in the places where it's deserved.
Yeah.
That's not one of them. That's not a fair criticism. They should have known ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly. The biggest problem, before they even began, they were outgunned and had no chance.
Yes. So Alex is now turning this into something else. This is now like lockstep is something he's known about forever,
of
man.
Of course.
11 years ago, I put out a little documentary called Endgame 2.0. It's since been taken off the internet. It was internet only. Didn't put a DVD out. And in that film, we laid out their plan to collapse society and their plan to trigger an economic collapse using a virus. And the reason I knew that was it had just come out in the Operation Lockstep.
Uh-huh.
It's now about 11 years ago.
Right off the top, Operation Lockstep is not a thing. That is all just made up. Alex did not know about the term lockstep when he made the film Endgame. It's a very recent element of his conspiracy theories that he's been trying to retcon into being part of his work all along. It's absolutely 100% not true. Alex started bringing up the word lockstep immediately after people like Jim Fetzer started misrepresenting that Rockefeller document, Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development, and memes started spreading about those misrepresentations.
Yeah.
That's the actual basis for Alex's reporting.
Yeah.
But let's entertain Alex's lie here, though, and let's tease this out.
Okay.
He's claiming that in the updated version of Endgame, he knew all this stuff that was going to happen because he's read this imaginary lockstep plan.
Right. That hadn't been written at that time.
That is the big problem.
Yeah, that is an issue.
There's another problem.
What's that?
There's no such thing as Endgame 2.0.
Okay, well, that's also a bit of a problem.
Alex is referring to Endgame 1.5, which was his... That was the supplementary director's cut of Endgame.
Sure.
That came out the same year as the original film, which was 2007. The Rockefeller document that the lockstep conspiracy is based on wasn't written until 2010.
There's an issue.
Yeah. Oh!
What's that?
We forgot that Alex is psychic.
Oh, shit! Shit, fuck. He can see the future.
He keep
in
forgetting.
His dreams.
Shit!
Yeah.
Keep forgetting about that. Timelines, be damned.
You know, it's really hard to check somebody who can see into the future.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
And I refuse to engage with it, quite frankly. I'm gonna...
What, the second sight?
I've been thinking about this for a while. I think I gotta just come out with it. I don't believe he's psychic. I don't know how that's going to... Oh, boy. Jordan's leaving. Jordan's taking off his headphones. I can't believe he is, because then this becomes a silly exercise.
Yeah, that becomes a real problem.
Not that this isn't silly to begin with.
Of all the ones that I facetiously entertain and even defend, that one I just never touch because fucking I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out when you say you're psychic.
Yeah, it's fun to think that he thinks he is, but the other thing, too, that I want to point out about this is such a really good example of these things that Alex does where he tries to insert current things into his past work.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of his work is so vague and so... it's in the documents, it's in the white papers, you know, all the I have the documents, I can prove everything, and then nothing's ever proven.
Yeah.
Everything is so hyper non-specific that, like, he complains about the Rockefellers all the fucking time.
Sure.
And so, yeah, you could find tons of him talking about the Rockefellers trying to take over the world 10 years ago.
Right.
You can go to Endgame and find talk of the Rockefellers being evil. He did not know about a document that would be written 3 years later when he made Endgame. But it looks good now.
It is unfortunate that part of the game of being so vague and tossing so much shit at the wall is, if you want to say, like, oh, I knew about Operation Lockstep 11 years ago, and then toss that shit out, you can be like, okay, well, here's a clip of me saying that the Rockefellers are going to kill everybody and that it's in the white paper. Mm-hmm. The white paper I was referring to was the as heretofore yet unwritten, you know.
That clip may exist somewhere, but I went and I found the, like, release, like, sort of article on Prison Planet about the Endgame 1.5.
Sure.
There's no mention of the Rockefellers. There's no mention of Lockstep. None of this shit.
It was a big road.
It's just
though.
Like, hey, man, we're going to have more interviews with Big Chimp Jim Tucker and Daniel Estelin.
Wait, did you say Big Chimp?
Big Jim.
I heard Big Chimp, and I was like, ooh, Big Chimp Tucker? I like that name way more.
That'd be better. Huh, what is it, a giant chimpanzee or a really old chain-smoking anti-Semite? I'll take the chimp.
I will also take the chimp.
So Alex is talking about Klaus Schwab a whole bunch.
Sure.
The guy who wrote this Great Reset book. And he has one particular thing that he says about him that is worth saying is not true.
The populist movement spreading across the world are stronger than ever. And now, you've got Boris Johnson, and you've got John Kerry, and you've got all these world leaders saying the COVID-19 lockdown is a punishment to populists to bring them under control, and they admit it's a social movement, and Klaus Schwab says it's not a threat. COVID-19 is not a threat.
All that's nonsense, but it is worth pointing out also that Boris Johnson is now on the outs. He is no longer the heroic populist that Alex claimed he was, because I guess he's taken COVID seriously.
Yeah, he had to institute the lockdown, and so, you know.
Yeah. Now he's a globalist.
Yeah, unfortunately, whenever you eventually, succumb to reality. Uh-huh. Everybody who's unreality does not like you anymore.
Yeah, anybody who's still committed to this will turn on you very,
very
fast.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So also, I want to talk about this Klaus Schwab thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's claiming that Schwab admitted in his book, The Great Reset, that COVID-19 is not a threat. Alex is doing this based on a cherry-picked quotation that reads, quote, unlike certain past pandemics, COVID-19 doesn't pose a new existential threat. This quote is taken out of context to imply that he's saying that COVID isn't really a threat and it's just being used to take over society.
Sure.
If you actually go to the text, you'll find that the words, quote, new existential threat have a specific meaning in the context of the writing. This quote is found after a discussion of the bubonic plague and the germs that were brought to North America by the first European explorers, mm-hmm. which is why the word new is in that sentence.
Yeah, there's that.
Those were instances of new existential threats to populations. COVID-19 is dangerous and deadly, but it's not the bubonic plague, and I don't think that's a controversial take. Schwab isn't saying that COVID-19 is not a threat, just that, quote, unless the pandemic evolves in an unforeseen way, it's not going to be something that poses an existential threat to the world like the plague. Alex is taking that quote out of context and giving it the context he wants it to have, which isn't real. Alex hasn't read this book, and I would go so far as to say that his researchers probably haven't either. I say this because that quote is taken from the introduction to the text. So I could see them finding that and being like, good enough.
Good enough.
That'll do.
Don't worry about it.
Let's go to lunch.
Oh, boy.
So I don't know if you've heard this. Jordan?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard this news.
What's that?
Did you hear that people are talking about Alex at dinner parties?
I did not hear about that, actually.
And by the way, I just want to give you some good news. We're going to go to your calls and get to the big news next segment. I've gotten calls. I get a lot of calls, but I've gotten calls from some of the biggest people out there. And they said, man, Alex, it's incredible. When I go to these dinner parties in New York or dinner parties in L.A., or I'm talking to, you know, top people, household names, all they want to talk about is you. And all they want to talk about is the future. And this one individual this weekend was like, what's it like to have everybody now accepting you and celebrating you? And I'm like, it's good to know people are finally understanding we're not playing games.
What's it like to have movie stars throwing
like?
Banquets in your honor?
What is it like for Rick Schrader to call you up and say, man, you remember when I was in Pool Hall Junkies?
Right.
We really crushed it in that movie. Anyways.
Alex, what is it like for James Woods to have commissioned a bronze sculpture of you in his front lawn? Alex, what is it like?
I got a call from the chair that Clint Eastwood talked to.
I am
talking to big people.
I'm guessing he got a call from like Coach Dave.
Totally.
You know, like
totally.
Because someone sent me a video of him saying that Alex is the leader of their movement.
Oh boy.
And my immediate response was like, well, add 4 info warriors to the tally. I I feel bad that we did an episode about that dude.
Yeah,
quite
too.
Frankly, given yeah. how irrelevant he is.
I think I
had no idea how like little
we were punching laterally at the time that we did the Coach Dave, though.
I think I got tricked by the fact that like Right Wing Watch would have posts about him.
Sure,
and stuff.
Sure, sure. From time to time. Yeah.
I thought for sure this is somebody who is much more relevant than they are.
And,
No, he has like 100 views on his channel.
It's really Right Wing Watch's fault.
I understand why you. I mean, they're supposed to watch the right wing. He is a right wing voice.
Sure.
But I thought he was somebody who had a bit more of an audience than he did.
Now that Jared Holt's gone, I'm going to shit all over Right Wing Watch.
Shit.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a Holt stan.
You just like that dog. I feel like it's like his dog. So, I don't know. I don't think that Alex is getting these calls, like I said, but he is very fixated on this. And interestingly, as he's being feted by the people who are the most important in society, the heads of state, the media figures,
sure.
the celebrities.
Everybody.
It just so happens that his every move is being watched by the feds.
Bummer.
Do you understand that I get followed home every day by black SUVs? When I eat in restaurants, FBI and CIA, we ran it, we checked it. FBI and CIA come and sit next to us. And when I come over, they put masks on and say, "Have a good day, Mr. Jones." They go wait in the parking lot.
They put masks on?
If
Mission Impossible masks?
Hotel, go across the street and have a hamburger. Federal agents follow me in. And they want me to know they're there. This is the type of stuff happened to Martin Luther King.
What?
Okay.
Wow. Wow. Wow, we're going for it.
That's narcissistic.
We're shooting for it, huh?
But I really do love the idea of like some guy being like, "Hey, Alex, I'm CIA. I want you to know I'm here. Enjoy your hamburger." Hey, Alex, I'm CIA. My buddy here is FBI. We are working on a joint task force about your diet. What the fuck is this stupid shit?
I think that could legitimately drive a real paranoid person insane if people were actually doing that.
Uh-huh.
I think if people actually did that to Alex, he would feel so validated.
Well, I think
like it would make him feel good.
I think if you're a paranoid narcissist who also has a modicum of celebrity, you might have people who interact with you who are like fans.
Sure.
Or something.
Sure, 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 sure.
And then because your brain doesn't interpret information correctly, you could be like, "Oh my God, that guy was CIA.
Sure.
Because they're wearing a mask and maybe they're in a suit or something.
You're a noticeable person.
Yeah.
People turn and look whenever they're in a restaurant and they're like, "Hey, is that Alex Jones?"
Or maybe one time he was coming home from work and there was a black van that happened to be behind him.
Yeah.
Not every fucking black van is the feds. Grow up, man.
I think that would be an easy situation that we should. Nobody who's not in law enforcement, nobody who's not a fed can have a black van. I think that's the new rule. That way we can all identify them all the time.
I think they would be against that.
I'm sure they would be.
Alex would be against that.
I'm sure he would be too.
Black van enthusiasts would be against that.
Well, we can. You have to. Okay, fine. You have to paint a unicorn or a dragon on the side of your black van if you are not a fed.
I think we could reach this compromise.
I think that's a good one.
So this is real strange. This is real. Like he had this doom and gloom sort of like God's cleansing fire is going to purify the world on Sunday.
Yes.
Now on Monday.
Not long ago.
Now on Monday, he's continuing with these fantasies about how all the celebrities love him now.
Sure, sure.
And everybody is watching his every move. All of the law enforcement. And then I got this news.
When you decide to spread the word and when you decide to share the info and download it and save it, because there may be a coming time we're not here. I mean, I've been waiting a while to say this may be my last broadcast, and I've never done that in 27 years on air.
Oh, really?
Tomorrow, I'm going to have discipline. I'm going to do my last broadcast ever, hypothetically, because it could be. I mean, now's the time.
Now's the time.
Bingo!
neighbors.
Sorry.
Yes, that is correct.
That is correct.
Yeah, of course.
The hypothetical last episode.
I was like, all right, no matter what, the 24th is either going to be the day that he sets out to do his last episode, or it will be yet another time that he has said he is going to and completely fucks up.
So, your eyes and your joy every time he sets you up only to make you disappointed is beautiful.
I
palpable. After all these years, Dan.
still crazy after all these times. Alex said he was going to do his last episode. I could not be more excited when I heard that. I thought, hooray.
Yeah, to the point
where I almost just turned off this episode.
I'm surprised that we're not skipping ahead to the 24th now.
Well, we've got to listen to some calls because Alex takes some calls.
Great.
Man, not a great session.
Eli's on the same subject in Indiana. One of InfoWars is taken out. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, it's L, and it's all, I go by L, but it's Andrea L. Wow, I can't believe I got this. So, really, my big question is, I'm wondering, like, how are we supposed to get our information if they succeed in shutting down?
Yep, then she hung up. Okay. Well, sorry, ma'am. Very bizarre.
I think they hung up on her. But you got to have that cough button there for that asshole exhale.
I agree. I will say this. I think Alex and I both experienced the same thing, which is that I did not hear a single word that she said. Mm-hmm. I think for him, it was because he responded to her name with just like,
yeah, he was not happy about it.
And for me, it was because I could not stop laughing at him just hearing a name and going, ugh.
He's very pissed off.
Does he know, or is it just that it's Andrielle?
I think the problem is that he said the wrong name,
uh-huh.
and then she corrected the name, but gave too much of a correction,
yeah.
and he doesn't care for this kind of thing.
No, that's true. You know, she also did the thing where she asked if she was on the air, which we all know sets him off.
Yes, that is. He has a hair trigger with that.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So he gets another call, and this person wants to talk about hypothetical violence.
I'm not calling for any type of physical violence, but it could get to that point. If they keep going down this road, what are we going to do? What must they think of us to do what they did, and we just accept that? I just can't go along with it. I can't go along with it.
I'm in the same boat.
Alex is eating lunch.
Yeah.
I was just,
of course.
I did that.
Delicious.
I did that because I have to always.
You love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You love catching him take a chomp.
There are recurring themes in the show. I think that's the most important of them.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah. So this is that last call here on the 23rd episode that we're going to listen to a little bit of is sort of a natural InfoWars kind of caller. This is not good. I didn't enjoy hearing this.
Look, I don't have anything against Jewish people. My wife
Stop.
Is Jewish. I have Jewish children. But, you know, what is Haman? What is Jesus? What is the murder of the Tsar? And what does Dominion have in common? There's all occult Jews behind it. And people, you know, you have...
I know that Dominion's hooked into Venezuela. I know that
even
CNBC's done reports on it being a fraud. It's been decertified in a lot of states.
So the what now?
Trying to act like we can just trust Dominion is just ridiculous.
So this caller is trying to speculate that there are occultic Jews who are behind stealing the election, as well as the murder of the Tsar and all sorts of pretty much every nefarious thing throughout history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Alex's response is like, hey, man, Dominion, Venezuela. Instead of being like, hey, guy, how about you calm down with this,
these
anti-Semitic tropes?
Bruh, I've been doing one thing for 20 years, and that is telling people I'm not an anti-Semite. Mm-hmm. And now you're making me say, well, I mean, some Jews.
Yikes.
That's not good.
Yeah, that caller was bad.
Yeah.
So we get to the 24th, and I was a little bit worried that Alex wasn't going to do his last show.
Why would you be worried about that? Is that a long, 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 long track record of not following through on promises?
He consistently doesn't do those things. So I was very shocked when he started the show this.
I put a headline up today that I've thought about doing for a long time but haven't done yet for the live show. And it says it all. It says, this might be my last broadcast, Alex Jones. And I have had many points in my life where I've almost said this on air because the situation was so serious, but it never rose to the occasion. I'm not saying it's my last broadcast, but now I have to treat every minute on air as if it could be my last. And I'm going to explain to you why and really just tell you the truth, which it's the only thing I can do.
Do it.
About how serious the situation is and what we're facing.
Do it.
Yeah, so I think that this was the biggest cop-out.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, this is going to be my last... But yeah. It's just saying, like, let's live each day like it's our last.
Yeah.
It's this bizarre, like, weird motivational nonsense.
Yeah, I will even go biblical on him and say, this is lukewarm, Dan. Mm-hmm. And we all know how the great feels about lukewarmity.
I kind of wanted a little more out of the idea of a last episode than just this.
Sure.
It seemed a little flat to me.
Yeah.
I wanted a little bit more pageantry. But he does actually get a little dramatic. This is a little dramatic. Maybe not as dramatic as I want it to be.
If Joe Biden's able to wiggle his way into the White House and scam his way into the White House and get the nuclear codes and all the rest of it, then I will officially make the statement and put an article out declaring the United States dead.
Dead.
And creating a tombstone. Hell, I might even have it carved in stone. And in fact, I will, and placed here in the TV radio newsroom.
And it'll be on sale at
StoneColdStore.com.
Buy yourself a tombstone of America.
I could have a keychain of that.
Yeah,
Take a keychain of that.
We're gonna have we have shirts, we have hats.
Totally.
We'll have pills shaped like tombstones.
Honestly, I think we should do that first, just to get out from under, just to steal it first. I think that'd be hilarious.
Look, I don't want to turn into Kiss, like where they're selling coffins.
That's fair.
It's too much. Plus, I don't think TeePublic sells tombstones.
No, we might have to go to a boutique shop.
Might have
shop
to go to
that.
Redbubble for that. So, I mean, all right. I think that's a little dramatic, but I should say that Alex is being very serious about this.
Okay.
Let me just get into it right now. So I'll normally come on and tell you what's coming up, then end up spending an hour just getting into the basic news, never hitting the heart of the matter. But let me just now square up and just tell you the awful truth.
Do it.
It's bad.
We're done here.
Admitting it's bad, we have a shot at stopping it and turning it around, but that tombstone is very real.
Okay. All right.
United States of America, born July 4th, 1776. United States of America, died January 20th, 2021. Because if we don't admit how grave the situation is, we don't have a shot at stopping this.
He's definitely going to try and sell that tombstone.
Oh, totally.
Also, I like the pun, how grave the situation
is. I know, it's great.
Not bad.
It's great.
Not bad, Alex.
And he did do what I appreciate the most, which is avoid saying pun not intended.
Sure.
I like it. Intend your puns.
Take some restraint.
Yeah.
So Alex has never put out a headline like this. Like, this is maybe my last show ever.
Sure.
He's talked about it a whole lot.
Of course.
On his show.
Yeah.
And the idea of doing that headline.
Pretty much.
He's never done that headline.
Okay.
And it turns out they fucked up the headline.
Oh, no.
I have been reading and studying the globalist for 30 plus years. I've been on air for 27. And I've never put a headline out like they just had on screen. This could be my last broadcast. Tune in if you want to save yourself.
Never put a head on out.
The globalists have
never
accelerated their timetable and are planning to engineer a complete global collapse on the ashes of which they will construct.
What?
The new future.
Oh.
I shot that out in a voice memo real quick to the fellow filling it out right before I went live, and he didn't quite get exactly what I said, talking 100 miles an hour, so we'll fix that headline. My fault.
Good last show. Good stuff, really.
Send an email. Write it down.
I was talking really fast because I had just done a bunch of speed, and voice memo probably was incoherent.
You know what? If a comic had an absurd intro.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be part of the whole bit.
Right.
They wrote it down for you.
You bet.
They wrote it down for you. They didn't say, like, hey, repeat this after me. Uh-huh. No.
Hey, I have a tongue twister that you need to memorize.
Exactly. Yeah. Repeat after me.
Yeah. You know, I would say that, like, he's been talking about doing his last show forever.
Mm-hmm.
He's decided, fuck, I'm going to do it. Prepare.
Yeah.
Like, isn't it supposed to be a time capsule thing? Isn't this supposed to be, like...
He wings it.
Isn't the idea of his last episode to be, like, in case I go off air, this is, like, a bottle. This is a bottle episode that will stand up to greatness.
Going out like the Sopranos, all right? He's who he is, and then the lights go off. Uh-huh. The end. Well, no finale, no wrapping up anything.
He does have a very serious message, though.
And what's that?
This is, well, do you want to know what his biggest message
what's
is?
What's that?
And the biggest message I have before I give you my personal message here is to the people that serve the system, the yuppies, the trendies, the leftist enforcers.
Sure.
You're the biggest chumps of them all. You're the biggest schmucks, the biggest fools. And I don't say that with pleasure. I wish you weren't so delusional. You think you're part of the ruling class. You think you're part of the eugenics takeover. You think you're part of the winning team. You are anything but that. You are the weak traitors that actually chose to join this evil because you were seeking out power.
I think that Alex would think that we're leftist enforcers.
I guess.
I mean, if he had to wrestle with our existence, he would obviously say that we're trying to shut him down.
Totally.
We're like some Soros plant
bullshit. Yeah.
And I can say fully, I mean, I've checked in on this a lot, like, and really, really thought about it. I'm not thinking I'm part of the power structure.
No.
I don't think I'm part of the establishment.
Honestly, I can think of very few times in all of human history when leftists felt like they were on the winning side.
Yeah. I want to even
not
take
our
more,
thing,
I
man.
Want to take it more granularly and just talk about you and me. You're one of three or four people
sure.
that I see.
Sure.
or have yeah. or talk to yeah. on any regular basis.
We're not yuppies or trendies.
You, my parents,
yeah.
Soros.
Sure.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I blew
That's
it.
All three.
I blew it. I find this to be a really bizarre thing for him to say. It's like his big message is like,
yeah.
you people are chumps.
God.
His last message is like a playground insult based in vindictiveness and misunderstanding the people you disagree with.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Who cares? Your last message is a waste. Trivial.
So annoying.
Anyway, you remember how globalists don't have kids?
Yes. 100% of globalists don't have
right,
kids.
Right. Correct. Right. Yeah, right. Alex said that on
yes.
Sunday.
Yeah.
This is their takeover with Ted Turner and Bill Gates.
None of
Klaus
them have
Schwab
kids.
And all of them. Warren Buffett.
Doesn't have kids.
To shut down the free market capitalist society, they say to save the earth, but really it's to give them total power and control when they live the most opulent lifestyles and have all these children.
Wait, hold on. They have all these children. I thought they don't have kids because it's a post-human future. Oh, maybe nothing you say means anything.
Dan, he's right 99% of the time.
Sure.
He's not right 100% of the time. That would be unreasonable for anyone.
Okay. Well, here's one of the another time he's wrong.
Okay.
There's a photo of Fauci 15 years ago.
Doesn't have kids.
With Tom Brokaw, George Soros.
None of whom have kids.
Barbara Walters.
Doesn't
Brooke
have
Astor.
Mm-mm.
That's Anderson Cooper's lady, mommy.
Anderson Cooper's mom is Gloria Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that
Alex
would be
should know
is.
That because he keeps talking about how he's the last
yeah.
Vanderbilt,
yeah,
which
yeah.
he's not. Alex
he's
can't
gone
keep,
on about it.
Can't keep his enemies straight. Brooke Astor had one child who died in 2014 at the age of 90. Significantly older than Anderson Cooper.
Taken too soon.
Yeah. So I guess we got to put that to 98%
right. 98% right. Okay. The batting average is going down.
Uh-huh. So this is supposed to be his last episode, right?
Yes.
And I've already brought this up, but I'm really struggling with this because it shouldn't be time stamped.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be dated. So if I were Alex, I would stay away from headlines. I would stay away from like things that are going to be like, "Oh, this is November 2020 stuff right here."
Just do a victory lap if it's your last show.
Bingo.
You do a victory lap. You do like, "Here are all of our achievements."
Do a fucking commentary for Endgame.
Anything. Do a "This is your life."
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Although you wouldn't be able to get too many of his former acquaintances.
A lot of them might not come back. Instead, what he does is like just headlines and shit.
New York City will have COVID checkpoints at key bridges and crossings. They will grab people out of their cars and buses and take them to testing sites to provide education and quarantine. So that's martial law. That's the secret police.
So this is based on some reality. There are COVID-19 checkpoints in New York, but they aren't set up to stop everyone, like you might imagine,
sure,
when Alex says checkpoints. It's specifically about people arriving in New York from out of state. And it won't be so much like they snatch people up. There's testing on site. And then there's they want to advise people arriving to the city about quarantine requirements, sure, and the fact that you could be hit with a fine if you don't follow them.
Yeah.
I don't like this much because, you know, it's kind of scary. But also, I don't like this pandemic and people not taking it seriously.
There's
so
that.
So here we are. Also, I'm much more interested in another part of the sheriff, Joseph Fushito, his comment about this stuff.
Okay.
Quote, deputy sheriffs are investigating massive events that violate a panoply of criminal, fire, building, health, and other regulatory laws at locations such as illegal fight clubs, underground raves, and illegal gambling dens. These activities were illegal and sometimes deadly before COVID-19, and the public safety hazards regarding them have been amplified exponentially by the pandemic. I did not know that illegal fight clubs were a modern problem in New York, but I want Alex to talk more about that instead of this other bullshit. There's deadly illegal fight clubs.
You know, the problem that we're seeing now in 2020 is too many people in New York are cool.
I should have known. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I guess I should have assumed there would be fight clubs.
I don't know.
I didn't. I don't know either. I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible
that there aren't fight clubs, but it does seem to be.
Underground boxing? Like, it's not like Fight Club the movie.
I would hope not.
I would assume.
Although somebody does need to blow up MasterCard.
It's a strange thing to read in that statement.
Like, it's a little weird.
Raves? Totally understand. Totally understand.
Yeah, of course.
I'm aware that those exist.
Always going to happen.
Some sort of underground gambling.
Even in
war-torn
countries have underground raves and underground gambling.
Sure.
Yeah.
Fight clubs, though, bro. That's the first one on his list, too.
Yeah. That makes it sound like fight clubs are a real issue for him.
Yeah.
Like, this is my third fucking fight club this week.
That's before raves on the list is even more like, what? Anyway, I think Alex is burying the lead on this one. So this will live on as his final episode, and unfortunately, certain things will not look so good.
Oh, no.
A lot of his COVID feelings, in particular, not great.
And if you go to one of these centers, they will kill you. Not your average hospital, but the special COVID centers are leftist execution docks.
Yeah, so if you go to a COVID center,
we're
you
leftist.
Go get tested for COVID, and they put you in the hospital with COVID. Leftists gotta kill you.
A leftist execution dock, though, does sound like it could be a dock for executing leftists.
Sitting on the leftist execution dock of the bay.
Nice.
Watching. I don't know.
Don't worry about it.
Thanks.
Let's move this one on.
So it turns out they won't just kill you, these leftists.
Okay.
They'll also laugh at you.
Oh.
You didn't die of COVID. They kill you with you chained down, blowing your lungs out. And they get off on it. Reportedly, they walk over and laugh at you when you're chained down. They're going to kill you and your family. God, they love it. God, they love it.
Reportedly.
Reportedly is doing a lot of work for one adverb.
Yeah. I mean, for the people who are first responders and people who are in the medical field who are being deeply traumatized by virtue of the help that they're providing and what they have to see. And this is such a disgusting thing to be putting out into the world. Like, this sort of perspective is just shameful.
Yeah.
It ranks in terms of his career. Like, he said a lot of really fucked up, horrible things. That this kind of thing, continuously, this characterization of medical professionals dealing with this crisis,
like,
it's up there with Sandy Hook. It's up there with the Boston bombing.
Totally.
It's disgraceful.
No, we can talk about
it. It may not be legally actionable necessarily, but it's as gross.
Right. No, I mean, this goes back to our earlier conversation, too. You know, we can talk about all the hundreds of thousands of deaths, which are fucking terrifying and tragic and awful. But at the same time, there are millions of people who are going to live with the effects of this fucking psychic destruction
sure.
for the rest of their lives.
And not to mention people who don't die but have, you know, effects and lingering
totally.
Health consequences that aren't captured by statistics
totally.
Well. That is an untold story that people have to live with. And, like,
I mean, just something small. Like, hey, guess what? For the rest of your life, you have shortness of breath
mm-hmm.
forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I understand that, you know, like, that's fucked.
Yeah.
It's just fucked.
Yeah. Maybe you were a runner before and now you're not.
Never again.
Yep. Right. And there are tons of things like that. And then the situations that doctors and nurses mm-hmm. are put in, the people who are medical professionals who have been infected themselves.
Yeah.
It's just disgusting. I mean, like, the evolution from they're just fucking in the hospital and getting drunk to they kill you and laugh at you. Just go fuck yourself.
These people would have happily executed Clinton for Benghazi.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, happily.
They would have executed
joyfully.
Bill.
They might
for
even. Yeah. Yeah. They would even perhaps have laughed while they were strapped down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Charlie Daniels can't tweet about it anymore.
No, poor guy.
So look, that's shitty, and I think it's important to take those moments and be kind of serious about it because mm-hmm. it is serious. It's awful.
No, it's tragic.
But there's also time to laugh, like when Alex talks about Daleks with swabs and guns.
That's too good.
I have bad news for you.
What's that? Are they back?
The Daleks are back.
Oh.
We have an update.
Okay.
They have been disarmed.
They have been disarmed? Did we disarm them?
I think we might have.
I think we did it.
I think we laughed.
We're leftist enforcers, Dan.
I think we laughed too much at it that now the Daleks are not armed.
That's good.
It's not. It's terrible.
No, that's smart. It's good on their part.
Get rid of the cars and make you ride those trains where there'll be the nice little checkpoints and the police officers with the little robots that come up and look like a Dalek out of Doctor Who. And there'll be armed cops behind them, and they'll shove a swab, and oh, you're in the database. You go bye-bye to a secret COVID facility staffed by Antifa doctors.
Okay.
You know, it's those small things that make me know he's listening.
It's
it's those small things where you're like, you knew. The guns in the Daleks was too much.
It was too funny and too stupid.
Good. It was too good.
Yeah.
It was too good. You found out and we all know.
Like Icarus, you flew too
exactly.
close to the sun
with
that one.
The Daleks were great. The swabs were fantastic. But you add a compartment with a gun in it and you've gone too far, sir.
Yeah, you're into like hilarious territory. Yeah,
exactly.
And that's why now it's a fucking Dalek with a swab and there's cops with guns behind him.
That's somehow silly. That's silly as shit to me, because now we're not just sending Dalek. Now we've increased our infrastructure costs.
Well, certainly. Now you have cops who are working with Dalek partners.
Exactly.
Sort of raises the question why you couldn't just have the cop swab people.
I got a new movie for you, sequel to K-9 Cop. Dalek and Hanks solving crimes.
I could see that.
I would watch that.
Yeah. So also, we're sort of really hyper-focused on the Dalek, and we're not talking about how there are Antifa murder hospitals.
Well, sure. Sure. But, I mean, we always know those are there. We're leftist enforcers, Dan. We don't need to worry about that.
Oh, my God. Antifa murder hospital.
I sometimes wish we were as cool as they think we are.
I would love for that to be, like, the next Blumhouse movie or something. Like, it could be, like, a real B kind of horror movie
totally.
That caters to the conservative audience. Like Antifa murder hospital.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then at the last moment, they're like, actually, it was a false flag by the Nazis, and the Antifa murder
Neighbors.
Hospital was a Nazi. Oh, I'm
Neighbors.
Sorry. I'm getting
Especially
excited.
Especially don't yell Nazis. If you're going to yell something, bingo is justifiable.
I'm pretty sure you can yell Nazis in a crowded theater. That was never settled.
I just don't want the neighbors to get some sort of very weird idea about what's going on.
I do like the idea that we're suddenly screaming like, oh shit, Nazis showed up.
So Alex has a new thing to complain about, a new primary source.
Sure.
And we'll get into it a little bit after he talks about it.
What I'm telling you is the truth. You just saw a UN Rockefeller lockstep plan put out 10 years ago when they put lockstep out on paper saying what you just saw with the woman in charge. She doesn't ever get to see her family. She can't travel. She gets meat once a year. Her husband's hooked into a robot machine.
Her kids have chosen for them
what they're going to be, what they're going to do. That wasn't some cartoon made by George Orwell saying, oh, this is terrible. They're saying this is good because they're showing children that.
Since you asked, the one day a year is on her birthday.
Is it on her birthday? Okay, yes. Good.
So this is a little thing called Plandopolis.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex is presenting this with no evidence and saying that it's, it does exist. But
sure.
He's without evidence, he's claiming this is something that was forcefully shown to kids.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, it's possible that it might have been shown in some classrooms in an educational setting. But I'm certain he's making it up because it's a cartoon and it's believable that it could be shown in classrooms to indoctrinate the kids.
As somebody who knows his Miyazaki history, I'm pretty sure that Orwell worked on Spirited Away.
Perhaps.
Yeah. It could have been Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, but I'm pretty sure it was Spirited Away.
I have to say, for Alex's sake, he did fairly accurately describe this cartoon.
Okay. All right. That's good.
There is a woman who has, there's limited travel.
Mm-hmm.
You can only have meat on your birthday.
Sure.
Her husband is hooked up to a machine at work.
Right.
Not in the way that maybe you might fantasize that being. But anyway, this is a video from a group called Forum for the Future. In 2011, they released a series of videos that sought to depict what the potential cities of the future could look like, given trends that were existing then in the world.
Sure.
As is Alex's habit, he's found one that he thinks he can claim is prophetic, and he's choosing to ignore the fact that there were four scenarios that this group depicted.
Wow.
The one Alex chose is closest to the things that he makes his audience scared of, with a strongly centralized government, food rationing, etc. This was a scenario titled Plandopolis, but there was also Communicity, Sprawlville, and Renewabad. These are each depictions of how city planning could evolve in a scenario where alternative energy sources were made primary and what life might look like depending on the strategies that are employed. None of this is meant to illustrate a plan. It's an exploration exercise, as the people who put this together actually said explicitly.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, Forum for the Future scenarios are not predictions or depictions of desirable futures, which we wish to promote, and they do not represent our vision of a sustainable future. They're pictures of different possible futures designed to help people understand the major trends that are shaping our world. They aim to challenge, inspire, and excite so that people feel motivated to plan for a better, more sustainable future.
Yeah.
So again, I mean, this is almost exactly the same thing as the lockstep, where he's taken that one plan, or not plan, one scenario out of the four and decided, oh, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
They said they're going to do it. It's same Operation thing. Lockstep.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Plandopolis is their plan. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to talk about Renewabad.
Well, don't worry about Renewabad.
Oh.
Although now, the moment you said Renewabad, I got transported into the writer's room with the whiteboard and the million different city name puns.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's where I belong, Dan.
Yeah.
Coming up with renewable names for different cities.
Also, Renewabad is what I'm going to think when I'm doing sit-ups.
Sure. All right.
So this is a bunch of nonsense, but I do think that it's probably going to be a very large piece of it's probably going to be the next lockstep, Plandopolis. And I think you'll probably hear a bit about it from other. But like the thing that was really weird is when I was looking into this, there were like Reddit threads from 2012, 2015 about the, like this has made the rounds in conspiracy circles for a while.
We've been
this
here before.
Yeah, this isn't new. So here's where things get weird.
Okay.
This is Alex's last show.
He gets into bell bottoms?
No.
Oh.
It's his last show.
Okay.
And as such, he wants you to know that the globalists, they believe that they're getting messages from aliens.
Sure.
We know this.
Yeah.
That's what they believe.
They believe that. He doesn't believe that?
Yes. He's not crazy.
No.
This is what they believe.
Exactly.
He's reporting on this as a scientist.
Yes.
Now wait till the end of this clip.
Okay.
I know the globalists follow this. They believe they're getting interdimensional information, just like in the movie Buckaroo Banzai, a great B movie. They believe they're getting information over the ether to build this, and they've been being sent the transmission forever. You can go back to the most ancient civilization 6,000 years ago. in the Sanskrit and the hieroglyphs, and they said, we are made up of a double helix of snakes, and, you know, they say that creatures came from the dog star Sirius to tell them this.
First of all, we talked about that whole thing in a Project Camelot episode.
Yes, so, we did. That's an issue.
Yeah.
That's something he should think about.
Second, if Alex believes that these aliens came down and told these, or these people did get this information that they couldn't possibly have from any other source,
sure,
then that would imply that it isn't just what the globalists believe.
I mean, the globalists believe it because it's true.
Well, hold on.
And then they make the movie, you know, the new Alien movie's all about it. They are telling you all of this, okay? And so they got a transmission, they built it, and it says, kill everybody and I'll give you the final codes. Now, you know Satan's a deceiver.
Do you?
And so, obviously, they're not going to be given, Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates are not going to be given eternal life. But they're so, they're like ham radio operators, you know, getting a transmission from Japan or something. They're like excited, you know, and they've gotten this information. And that's really what this is. Just like the Bible says, there is a fallen out of our sight, but another dimension.
Don't remember that.
Free will, that we're more advanced than, but we're in an embryonic stage, a larval stage. And if it can convince us to destroy ourselves, it will do it and take control and have us build its escape mechanism. And that's what this is.
Okay. So the globalists believe that they're getting like promises from aliens who say, sure, you got to kill everybody and then we'll give you the final codes.
Right.
And I'm, look, I know I sound crazy saying this, but that's just what they believe. Now,
right,
I should tell you that they are getting these messages from a transdimensional demon that's,
well, sure,
in the Bible, and that's what's going on.
Well, that's obvious, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems, I hate to be a dick.
What about it?
It seems kind of like a technicality.
It does seem like what he's saying
seems semantic.
What he's saying is they believe, I'm not crazy, they believe that they're getting interdimensional messages.
When we all know it's a demon.
It's from the devil from a different dimension sending them messages.
Right.
What don't they understand?
Right.
It's completely different.
Now, it might also be an alien.
Sure.
Oof. Oh, yeah, this is silly.
And we all know Satan's a deceiver, Dan.
We do.
We all know Satan's a deceiver.
That's taken as read.
So, okay. So let's entertain this for 1 second. All right. Bezos, Gates.
Not getting eternal life.
Getting interdimensional messages that suggest to them that they will receive eternal life.
Yes.
Now, is our real issue that they just haven't talked to Alex yet and had Alex be like, nah, that's the devil. You're not actually going to get eternal life. They're lying to you.
Hmm.
Is that all we need?
We just need to get Bezos and Alex in a room together?
I think we do.
No, we don't.
I think we should.
Nope.
I think we should get them in a room together, put a big dome over it, and never open it again.
So it turns out you can talk to aliens or the devil.
Sure.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You could take drugs. You can electrocute yourself.
Could just dream.
Alex later says you can just like do that thing where you choke yourself against a wall.
Oh yeah,
you
know, I did that when I was young.
Yep.
So they're even getting everyone ready. Okay. And so it's on. And you can electrocute yourself. You can have your heart stopped and do it. You can take DMT and do it. Put the trailer back up. I'm telling you. To break to the other side. And boy, when they do it, do they break through. And Buckaroo Banzai, the movie's telling you exactly what happens. When he goes through the wall the other side, he don't come back the same dude.
Yeah, so apparently Buckaroo Banzai, predictive programming about how you could commune with the devil.
You know, I knew it was always going to come down to RoboCop in one of his many roles.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't expect it to be Buckaroo Banzai. That was too happy and joyful a film.
Well, it turns out it also was full of very, very subtle messages about the devil.
Well, that'll happen.
Yeah. Also, you remember that episode where Alex was incoherent, fucked up on something?
Sure.
And one of the questions from the Reddit Ask Me Anything was about Buckaroo Banzai. He's like, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Probably he was being cagey.
He does not like revealing that he's a big nerd, which is so weird to me.
Meanwhile, Buckaroo Banzai is real.
Is this like a there but for the grace of God? Could I have been Alex Jones if I was just so insecure about my nerdiness when I was in like fourth grade? Is that all it took?
No, because I think you probably were. I think it would also require an inability to understand the things you were reading.
There is that.
I think that's such an essential piece of what makes Alex Alex.
Yeah.
Like a lack of reading comprehension.
Just an inability to comprehend what you read.
Yeah. Mixed with a pretty high functioning like memory or recall. Yeah, a pretty strong recall.
Yeah, totally.
But just not a not a good understanding.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, also being really insecure about being
totally. Yes. There's definitely that.
That as well.
Yeah, I'm not really a big Star Wars fan. Anyways, let me start my show. Bomb, bomb, bomb.
Neighbors.
Sorry.
Can't do the Imperial March.
I'm sorry.
Just as bad as yelling Nazis.
I just screamed
Nazis.
Nazis and now I'm playing the Imperial March. That's trouble. Stop it. That's neighbor's trouble.
So Alex has a plug here and this made me pretty sad.
I didn't plug last hour. Speaking of last show, if I don't plug, we won't be here. I am spending all the money we've got. I have expended much of our reserves going to Georgia and going to Arizona and going to D.C.
What a series of great investments. Really got the achieved results out of Georgia, Arizona, D.C. Caravan. Really set the world on fire with that caravan. We're still hearing about it.
Yep.
The ripples of the caravan. The Stop the Steal caravan. I mean, it's changed the political landscape.
I'm going to say, I think pretty seriously, this will be maybe one of the few times, Dan, where you have absolutely, like, the Caravanity Project will live on forever, long after the caravan has been forgotten.
I don't believe that.
I think you've done it. You've immortalized something.
I got a phone call. Right?
Okay.
Lieutenant Colonel.
All right. Lieutenant Colonel.
I can't say his name. I promised I wouldn't.
Okay.
He was telling me that he talked to Gavin Newsom.
Ooh.
And people on the West Coast, the high elites.
The high elites.
The biggest figures in West Coast politics.
Sure.
They're terrified that they're going to do another caravan and go west.
That's trouble. That's trouble.
Head west.
That is trouble. I can see Feinstein's bones jiggling.
Yeah. They're so afraid that Owen is going to draw crowds of tens of people.
Not to the west.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll get all the way to Nevada.
I mean, look, I don't believe that this is necessarily going to be what happens, but I do think that there would be a certain cosmic hilarity if, like, Alex ends up going broke because of this bad
investment. It'd be so great. It'd be so great.
Look, we could have stayed on air another year, but I thought it was a good idea to send Owen to Baton Rouge.
I want the armored car to take him down. I want that to be the thing.
He's going to be living out of that armored
That's
car.
Such every bad boss that I've ever known.
Hey, I know they said that I got a bunker going. It's actually just this tank. I got a bunch of beans in the tank.
Every bad boss I've ever known has been just like that, where it's like, guys, unfortunately, we're only going to be able to do a small raise this year. It's just going to be a 2%. Anyways, I bought an armored van. We're going to fucking Florida. Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
You guys are the worst.
Yeah. So Alex has a guest on, which I thought was weird. I was like, hey, it's your last show. Do your fucking last show.
Yeah.
Don't have guests on unless it's Steve. Because he belongs on your last show.
Sure, sure.
He has ruined your life.
Right.
He deserves to be there at the end.
He needs to be wearing a black robe over, like, behind him with a scythe.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not Steve.
Dr. Patrick M. Byrne is on with us. I'm not going to go over his whole giant bio. He started a lot of big companies. I'm not going to, again, list them all. He was the CEO of Overstock and started that. Runs worldstock.com, was the first major online site to accept Bitcoin.
So yeah, this Patrick Byrne, he was the CEO of Overstock until he had to resign after it came out that he had an intimate relationship with Maria Butina, the Russian woman who pled guilty to conspiracy to act as a unregistered foreign agent. Yeah.
And he had to resign because of that?
Yeah, he was mixed up in some shit. After that, he had a bit of a public meltdown and said that the FBI forced him to have a relationship with her, and he made a string of nonsensical interviews.
I like that swing.
Yeah. I don't care about Patrick Byrne. He's on just pushing the same sort of Dominion conspiracies.
Sure.
And also, one thing that I find very interesting is that if he's to be believed, he's feeding information to Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell. So the information that they're putting out, he's taking credit for.
Okay. So you're telling me that somebody who lost his insanely, perhaps obscenely high-paying job, because of having an illicit affair with a foreign agent unregistered, is now telling me several years later, I'm feeding information to Rudy Giuliani, someone who never, ever had any connection to any sort of Russian intelligence whatsoever, correct?
Well, here's the problem. Like, everyone's just full of shit.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if I believe that.
Oh, I don't believe him at all. I'm just saying that that's a pattern of behavior.
If true, not great.
No.
And it's not a good interview either. I don't really care. Because Alex has another guest on.
Okay.
And maybe this is somebody who should be on his last show, but come the fuck on.
Joining us for the next hour and 15 minutes ahead of Joel Skousen is the one, the only, David Icke.
The turd in the punch bowl himself.
Wow.
The guy who earlier on in his career, Alex would say, is meant to make conspiracy thinkers and people who ask questions give him a bad name.
Yeah.
Make him look bad because he talks about lizards and shape-shifting folks and blood drinking and, wait, I'm that now.
Yep.
There's something actually kind of spiritually appropriate.
No, I
agree. The idea that on his last show he's sitting here and just like kissing David Icke's ass.
Exactly. I would want more of like a reconciliation, like a behind the music reconciliation at the end, you know, where they're both sitting there like, you know, we disagreed about a lot of stuff, but now I can see I'm also full of shit too.
I think that there's two things. One, I would like to see a bringing back of people like Jason Burmess,
sure,
and Luke Radowski,
sure,
like these people from way back when, and just seeing how they get along now.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be a good last show.
That'd be great.
But I also think that this is really good too, because like Alex resented David Icke for a long time.
Totally.
David Icke did not give a single fuck.
Mm-mm.
It just did his thing. And I'm not saying like that's a good thing.
No.
It's still a bad thing.
No, it was terrible.
The David Icke did his thing and didn't bend.
He outlived him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from the beginning to the end.
Yep.
I mean, this isn't the last episode, obviously.
Sure,
Alex had a show on Wednesday.
Of course.
But like,
of course.
To the hypothetical last show, David Icke stands as a more successful, more popular, better situated figure in the conspiracy world than Alex could ever be.
Yep.
And Alex has now been brought low.
Oh,
he has had to bend.
That's brutal.
He had to bend the knee to someone like David Icke.
Ooh, here's my pitch on Alex's actual last episode. We full on do a This Is Your Life, right?
Sure.
Where you have to hear the voice disembodied before you know who it is that's coming on there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get so many different voices just to see how much he flinches, like hearing his former friend's voice just being like, oh shit, he's coming for me.
Oh,
what's happening? Oh God, he's behind me.
Oh no.
I want to hear it. Like, you know, those were always very positive. We're like, oh my God, it's him who's talking to me. This would be very dark.
You know what would be great is if Rappaport was a master of impressions and he could do like the voices of people who hate Alex now, like Webster Tarpley or something.
Sure.
And then he's like, oh no, Webster, is that you? Nope, it's just me, it's Rappaport, I'm
still
fucking with
it's
you.
It's still me, I'm in the bushes.
Yeah.
We're on voice number 15, Alex. You should assume by now it's me.
Oh God, I love you, Rappaport. You scared me. You had me scared there.
Every time.
Anyway, David Icke is here, and basically what his big thing is, hey man, there's no COVID.
Yeah, of course.
I said since March there is no virus. I've got more and more and more certain of that with every passing week. But even if you believe there is, on the basis of their manipulated figures, which are, I say 100% manipulated, there is no deadly virus that affects the vast majority, overwhelming vast majority of people. And yet,
let me stop you. We got to go to break, and I'll give you the floor, man. You're so on target. But
okay, that's not the response you're supposed to have to David Icke coming on and saying that there is no virus. I've been convinced of this the whole time. But let's stipulate that there is, just in case some of your listeners aren't ready for the truth that there is no virus.
Yeah.
That's fitting for the last show for Alex to have a guest who's saying things that directly contradict literally everything that he believes, and him being like, you're so on
you
target.
You got it. Nailed it, buddy.
Yeah.
You're the best.
We have one last clip here of David Icke from the final episode of the Alex Jones show.
Sure.
It's just, go fuck yourself, David Icke.
The SARS-CoV-2 virus has never been isolated and shown to exist. Simple fact. There's no scientific paper on planet Earth that's appeared since it's apparently started in China that has shown the virus to exist through isolating it and isolating its genetic code.
This is absolutely not true, and David Icke should be absolutely ashamed of himself for passing along this bullshit.
I bet he's not.
There's an article in the journal Emerging Infectious Diseases from June 2020 with the title, quote, Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome Coronavirus 2 from Patient with Coronavirus Disease, United States. I'll read you this from the abstract. Quote, we isolated virus from nasopharyngeal and oropharyngeal specimens from the patient and characterized the viral sequence, replication process, and cell culture tropism. Isolated virus.
Yeah.
This paper actually even discusses how they were able to take this isolated virus and create a full genome sequence, which they made, quote, available to the domestic and international public health, academic and pharmaceutical sectors for basic research, diagnostic development, antiviral testing, and vaccine development. David Icke actually goes on to bring up this study, which contradicts his point that there is no paper that shows this.
Wild.
It's not a problem for him, though, because he then claims this paper is bogus, citing the expertise of a guy named Tom Cowan, who's put out a video about how 5G is poisoning our cells,
cool.
which is creating viruses.
Oh, great.
Also, Cowan is a holistic medicine guy whose medical license is currently on probation because, quote, among other things, he had offered an unlicensed drug to a breast cancer patient without informing her it wasn't approved for use. He also never saw the patient in person, nor did he review her full medical file, according to documents from the Medical Board of California detailing why he was to be disciplined. So I'm not going to listen to this dude. Anyway, go fuck yourself, David Icke. You're a real pile of shit, and it's fitting that Alex would have you as a guest on your last show. On a scale of 1 to 5 Hitler mustaches, 2.
2 mustaches? I think that's too...
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably too low.
I think a lot of... Yeah, but 1 Hitler mustache is still 1 too many...
I mean, it's really about how you look at the scale.
You know, that's one of those things. There are limits. I don't see how saying on a show right now that the virus isn't real is any different from yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Sure.
You know, that's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no difference. You're killing people.
Yeah. I agree with you, except for... I don't know, just the ability to make direct lines. You know,
totally.
If you yell fire in a crowded building, obviously you see the effects, the immediate effects of it.
Right, right, right.
Whereas this is it's much harder to trace direct people who were affected.
Sure,
sure. And this is the reason that they behaved in the way they did.
Right, right.
But I agree
you
with you.
You can't contract, but trace bullshit.
I agree with you in concept, though.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the answer to that is. I hate it. I think it sucks.
Murder hornets.
Murder hornets?
Yep.
How about this?
Okay.
Daleks.
I like it. What would we put in our Dalek compartments?
Hornets.
Okay, take the swab. Uh-huh. Didn't take the swab? Release a murder hornet. Yeah, exactly. All right.
It'd be so weird if it was just like, all right, take the swab. No, I won't. Boop, what comes out? Cake. What?
Fooled ya.
What the fuck? Thank you, Dalek.
Ah, but the cake is a bomb. Shit.
Damn it. Yeah, so I don't know. I gotta say, I admire Alex for doing his last show. You know, like, he said he was going to do it.
Sure.
I don't admire what he did, though. Again, I think we're running into this a lot.
Yeah.
We could do this better than him.
Infinitely.
If you have this opportunity to do your last show, don't just do your show.
Yeah.
Don't talk to Patrick Byrne about Dominion conspiracies that'll be stale tomorrow.
Yeah.
Don't do an interview with David Icke where it just becomes transparently clear how much you've betrayed your own sort of beliefs in your career.
Yeah.
Do something that is like...
retrospective.
I honestly think... like, just revisiting Endgame would have been amazing.
Probably.
That would have been amazing.
That really
would
have
been so confused by some of the theories that he had. He wouldn't remember
half
of
great.
It.
Yeah. That would have been great. And you know he wouldn't have prepared.
No.
He would think that he knew everything about his film.
Totally.
And then he'd realize he has no idea what he was making that movie about.
Back in the booth, pull up the bibliography on this. Yeah. What? Fill in later? Why didn't people fill this in? What the fuck?
Can you even do that?
Wait a second. I can't pull up this Encarta page. What the fuck is going on?
Somebody get that Encarta disc from way back in my
office. Whoever made this bibliography sucks. Oh, wait, it was me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I would be interested in something like that or even blowing hard for a couple hours just about like... The Northern Lights.
Full on 3 hours of esoteric Alex tossing out all kinds of theories about all kinds of shit.
It needs to be something that can live as a document.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're doing this and it's something you clearly have talked about doing as an idea for a long time, and you say the day before, I'm finally going to do this thing, this last episode, this hypothetical last episode, it's got to be a concept episode. And it just wasn't.
No.
It was flat. The guests are terrible. The stuff's embarrassing. Like, if it's to be remembered as his last episode, he's, you know, getting shit wrong all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
His big message is the left are chumps.
Sure.
Great. He's talking about how if you go to a hospital for COVID, Antifa will murder you in their murder docs.
That's going to stand the test of time.
He's rambling about Plandopolis.
Sure.
Which is already, again, it's a conspiracy that's stale almost as soon as it comes out of his mouth.
The obvious thing that his last show should be.
What's that?
Just a movie roundup. All the movies that he has based all of his bullshit on, he just starts playing clips, man. He does a full-on clip show of like, hey, you remember this conspiracy theory? This one's from Oblivion. All right, now let's move on to this next one. Hey, you remember this one? Logan's Run. You guys ever see that? That's a classic.
But he does do that as he does it. I mean, you heard of the Buckaroo Banzai.
Sure, totally. Yeah. But I'm talking about comprehensive. Like, right. Do the whole filmography. Turn it into AMC.
Also, let me just say, dangerous message to send on your show that you can talk to demons or aliens if you electrocute yourself. Because what if somebody listening wants to talk to those aliens?
Well, that's true.
What if people listening end up electrocuting themselves?
It never occurred to me that I should try any of those things.
Well, now.
But now I obviously need to.
Yeah. I give this 2 thumbs down.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like the caravan, it's just another thing that gets me so fucking excited.
I know.
And then he's such a bust.
I know.
It's such a letdown.
I know.
Alex cannot help but be disappointing, but I should say I'm back to where I like to be, which is I'm ready to be disappointed consistently.
Sure.
There was a stretch where I was very much just like, it's getting tiresome that I'm being disappointed over and over again.
Yeah.
Now there's a bit more charm.
Mm-hmm.
To it. I can't help but think that it's all just because I'm building things up again.
I have a theory that some of that is about your excitement is both yours and also anticipation of the excitement of you telling it to me.
So, yeah.
Because even now, I can see it in your eyes when you were getting excited about the feeling you had whenever he was like, I'm going to do my last show tomorrow.
Wow.
I saw it in your eyes in the moment.
Well, mostly,
excitement.
Well, mostly because you immediately could tell that was
what I was
excited about. I feel like, there's some anticipation to that.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Daleks with guns.
Ugh, still good.
Anyway, I mean, I guess our show is over too now.
Yeah.
Alex has done his last show.
You think those cops would begin to view the Dalek as a partner, you know?
If I understand anything from globalist texts, and by that I mean Short Circuit.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's
for
also
sure.
a lot of blatant racism in that too.
Wally. Yeah. Globalist document Wally.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we'll be back because our show isn't over and neither
Indeed.
Is Alex's. This
of
is all
not.
Just dumb bullshit on his part,
obviously.
Trying to get attention.
Pathetic.
But he had to do it eventually. You know what I'd love?
What?
We're recording this on Wednesday mm-hmm. because holiday and
sure,
such.
Sure.
But I would love if today's show on Wednesday, mm-hmm. I do know that he did one, but
yeah.
I haven't listened to it.
Sure, sure.
I would love if it started, yesterday I tried to do my last episode. I really fucking punted. I screwed up. I'm going to do my real last episode today. That would be great.
I would give anything for him to do a whole week of that.
Yeah. Each time just being like,
each time,
fucked up.
Look,
fucked
last up. Time I thought I did better, but you know what? Third time's a charm.
I realized in hindsight it was embarrassing to have David Icahn for an hour and then kiss his ass on the last show, and I should, by all accounts, think he's a total weirdo.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to do this again. Also, Steve Pachanik complained that he didn't get booked. like an aspiring comic, he got mad that he didn't get the call. So we're gonna do it from the top.
It is fitting if this
also,
is his last
boy,
episode.
Rob Dew's gotta feel bad that he wasn't on the last show.
Yeah, Rob Dew doesn't need to be on the last show.
You gotta he's been there forever.
Ah, come on.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back.
Indeed we will.
But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledge_fight and at GoToBedJordan.
We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. If you like to tell us, sure, iTunes, and if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people doing God's work right
yep.
now.
We will be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis. I'm a surf, not a smurf.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.